I started a series a couple of weeks ago that called As Jesus Is. As Jesus Is. The scripture tells us as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And so what we wanted to do is just start off this year just looking at some of these characteristics and these aspects of Jesus. Because it's as we look into Him, as we behold Him, that we are changed into that same image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. As we behold Him, we are changed into that same image by the Spirit of the Lord. You are what you look at. You are what you hang around. Those things that you focus on, those things that you talk about, is actually what you'll begin to manifest in your life. If you are a complainer, a griper, a murmurer, and you hang around those people that do, and y'all, and so you sit there and you gripe, complain, murmur about the government, murmur about what's going on in the media, murmur about this, and you complain and complain and complain. Guess what? You're going to just begin to manifest complaints all in your life. It's just you're going to attract it to you. Okay? But if you will focus on Jesus and the finished work, and you focus on His victory, and you focus on the fact that He's your King, and that the government is on His shoulders, and that we live in a place of victory, and it doesn't matter what's going on around here, you can't help but be happy. You can't help but have a smile on your face all the time. You can't help but enjoy life. Jesus said, I've come that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. In other words, it is His will for you to enjoy life. Regardless of what's going on in our city, our state, in our nation, and around the world, that we can enjoy life in the midst of everything else. Like everybody else can be sourpusses, but we don't have to be that. Amen? And if you're just happy and smiling all the time, guess what? Somebody's going to want to know, why are you so happy? And you're going to have an opportunity to allow Jesus to manifest Himself through you into other people's lives. So let's take a look at John chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to bounce around for a bit in this chapter, but this is awesome. This is Jesus. As you look through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus is manifested, revealed in different ways. He's a shepherd. You know, He's the shepherd to the sheep. He is the door. You know, that we enter in. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So there's different aspects. He's also the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He's the soon and coming King. There are so many names and so many things that I obviously during this series can't go through it all. But we're going to focus on one that Jesus Himself talked about. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Can we read that together? Ready? Read. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Praise God. Praise God. This is who He is, the bread of life. I'm going to skip on down to verse 47 for a moment. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, he's having a conversation here with the Jews, and what they were referencing, they were talking about the manna that was provided to them in the wilderness when they left Egypt, the great Exodus. You can see this in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. But as God delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and as they were going into the wilderness, there was no food to eat. And so they complained. They cried to God, God, we need food. Moses, their leader, went to God, God, what are we going to do for food? And so God began to give them what they termed as manna, which was a small piece of bread that they said was bread from heaven. And every morning when they got up, there was a fresh batch right outside their tent door. And there was just enough for the day. And the next day, they'd get up and there was just enough. And so what they learned through this process is they learned how to trust God daily for their needs. And so, if they tried to store it up, if they tried to just take enough and say, you know what if there's not any tomorrow? I'll tell you what, let's kind of put it in storage just in case. And so that they put in storage would rot and would have worms and stuff like that. So it wasn't worth eating the next day. And so it was about fresh manna. Well, what did Jesus say that we needed to pray? In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's a powerful truth that the will of God, there's two powerful truths. I'm going to say it really quick because I got a lot to go through, but just catch this, that the will of God on the earth isn't automatic. The will of God doesn't automatically get done in the earth. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, pray, thy kingdom come. Pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we are the kingdom of God walking. We are the kingdom of God expanding. The will of God is going to be done through our lives. Amen. Those, you know, Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And so one of the things that we should be praying about, God, your will be done in my life, just as it is in heaven. In other words, whatever the will of God is in heaven is the will of God for you right now. If the will of God in heaven, like I don't know of any sick people in heaven. Right? If that's the will of God in heaven, that's the will of God in the earth right now. I don't know of any fear that's in heaven. And so that's the will of God for us not to live in fear today. So we need to focus on the will of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence. Somebody say confidence.
Confidence.
This is the confidence that we have in Him. This is an awesome verse. Can we pull this up? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Thank you, Father. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Somebody say confidence.
Confidence.
Somebody say boldness.
Boldness.
See, what Jennifer was talking about is getting to a place that you are confident and that you trust God and you're unquestionable about it. There's no doubting about it. I really am thinking about everything that I want to do, but the Spirit of God is gently nudging me a certain direction. So should I go my way or should I go God's way? Okay. I hope y'all said it. So here we go. I mean, you've just gave me permission to extend the service. Thank you very much. That's all good. We're going to go God's way. And when God says do it, it's going to be awesome. Okay, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to go through this over the next 5 minutes. This is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything, somebody say anything.
Anything
according to His will, what does it say? He hears us. He hears us. I'm going to stop here for a second. This scripture shows us that what our focus needs to be in our prayer life. Our focus in our prayer life needs to be knowing what the will of God is. I don't need to be praying for things that aren't in His will for my life. So some people might say, well, how can I know what the will of God is for my life? Well, you know what? You can look at the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God, and it shows you and reveals who God is. Jesus, look at the life of Jesus. He is the will of God in action. Everything that He did was according to the will of God. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And He said, while I'm here on the earth, I've got to work the works of my Father. My Father is working, and so I'm working alongside Him. And so He knew what the will of God was. Jesus didn't wake up every morning and say, well, I'm just going to go out there and we're just going to wing it. We're just going to try to figure out what the will of God is. Let me just hope that how many of you believe that Jesus knew the will of God? He was the will of God. He operated in that way. Child of God, you can do the same. Amen. As you study the Word, it will become very clear what the will of God. When Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you would have life and experience it and have it more abundantly. Very clearly, there's the will of God. When Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, that tells us that the will of God is to heal. When 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil, that will of God is still the same for you today. And we can have confidence that as we ask according to His will, He hears us. Let's bring that scripture back up. And then what we're going to do is we're going to move right on to the next one. Waiting for it to come back up on screen here. 1 John, this is the confidence that we have. Confidence. Somebody say confidence. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Look at the next verse. And if we know that He hears us, if you want kind of an ABC, a 1, 2, 3, ask according to the will of God. Because if you know what the will of God is, then you can be confident that He's heard. Now, once you've gotten into the place that He is hearing what you're praying, look at what He says. If we know, somebody say no.
No.
There's no guesswork in this. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask. Somebody say, whatever we ask.
Whatever we ask.
I know this is just like, for some people it's like, well, it can't mean whatever. Sure, why not? Like, we have got to learn to embrace the over-the-top language. That where, you know, God wants to abound so abundantly towards us. The Bible says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or that we can think. Man. I'm going to do a message here in the not too near future, here in the very near future, maybe I should say, on the power of asking. It's all through the scriptures. Okay, so, but not today. But it says that we know then that we have. So if I know that He hears, then I know, it's an automatic, I know that I have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Whether I see it or whether I don't, I know He's already said yes. I know that He's already made provision. I know that is already made available to me. I want your faith to rise. I want your confidence in God to rise to such a place. And that's what He said. When you ask in faith, nothing wavering in James chapter 1. Okay? Nothing wavering. He says, you know, stay confident. Stay focused. Stay steadfast. Amen. Okay, so that's for somebody to kind of help you center your heart and to grasp a hold. God is absolutely trustworthy, and He can absolutely be confidently prayed to and to know. So Jesus said, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And then He said this, give us this day our what?
Daily
bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if as we go back to John chapter 6, here He is telling us, He says, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. And then in verse 49 there, again, he said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they are dead. In other words, it really wasn't bread from heaven where God dwells. This is the bread. He says, I am the bread which came down from heaven that one may eat it and not die. And then he says this in verse 51, the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now let's look at verse 53. Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, we're not talking about cannibalism here, guys. Okay, now it may sound at first read that what is he talking about? Eating his flesh, drinking his blood. But he does explain it. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me, and here's the key, he who feeds on me, he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread lives forever. Let's talk about bread for just a moment. What does bread signify? What does it produce for us? I mean, first of all, everybody, the big craze that's going around is this keto diet, right? How many of you have been on it or are doing it, right now? Can I see? And you've heard of it. Any show of hands? I mean, I went on, I lost 25 pounds last year doing it, like it came off so quick that people asked me, are you sick? Are you okay? That kind of, I had to convince them that it wasn't because of anything else. It was that. And so the keto diet is simply this. You cut out your breads, you cut out your sugars, and that kind of thing. So it takes you in kind of into a fasting mode. And so that your body begins just to feed off of its own stored fat. That's really the idea. But you totally cut out what bread produces. What does bread produce? It's a carbohydrate, but basically, to bring it down to a nutshell, it is a source of energy. It's a source of energy. And as you eat bread, and probably some of us like bread more than others. I love bread, okay? And all kinds of bread. It's a blessing from God, is the way I feel. And sourdough bread is amazing. Homemade sourdough bread, by the way. I'm making you hungry right now. We better hurry up, right? And if you go to Cheesecake Factory, there's only one kind of bread to eat, and that's the brown bread. The white bread's no good, but that brown bread, man, that's something in that. It's like they'll sit you a basket of white bread there and like, what are you bringing that for? I just need the brown bread because that stuff is amazing. Sorry, I'm getting off track here. But besides, causing you to think about it and to salivate there, what does bread do? It provides, it's carbohydrates, it provides energy. And what is that energy for? It's for you to function. It's for you to do. If you were to load up on bread, or if you were to eat bread three times a day, it's going to be an energy fuel source that would allow you now to work, to do things, and it needs to be expressed through activity. Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, if you love bread, not trying to step on any toes here. But if you love bread and there's no activity, you get fat. He said it. I'm just repeating it. You just sit there, right? And so can I say that the bread is given for you to have the energy to do and to have activity? Well, the bread of life, Jesus, what he wants to do is he wants to be your power source. Yeah. Yeah. He wants to be your energy source. That as you not just get it at the beginning of the week. Yeah, I got my fill of the bread of life this week. and then you go on a spiritual keto diet the rest of the week. Hello. And cut out the bread of life because you're so busy about everything else. And then you don't know and you don't understand when you get to Wednesday why you've run out of energy. And you get to Wednesday and you've run out of, you know, man, I just feel depressed, or I just don't feel like I don't feel like going to church, or I don't feel like doing this, or I don't feel like praying, or I don't feel like, and you feel sluggish, and it's because you're not praying to God and going to God for your daily supply of bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. You need to get a revelation of Jesus and a revelation of what he is saying to you every single day, and then allow him to live his life through you. Take of the bread of life. Eat the bread of life. How do you do that? Go to the Word. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus fasted for 40 days. And so the devil came to him to tempt him and said, if you're the Son of God, command this these stones to be turned into bread, right? Yeah. Jesus' response was this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we can say that part of our routine, our daily routine, Lord, give me revelation in the Word, is to take, because Jesus is the living Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. Take the Word of God and feed upon it. Feed on it before you feed on natural bread, before you eat breakfast. Let it be the source of your life. Let him be the source every single day. You need the spiritual energy insight. You need to feed on him so that you'll know the will of God, and so that the energy and the power of God will be there, and that you'll connect with him. Now look, Jesus is in you in full manifestation. What we're talking about is how do you take Jesus and what's in the spirit realm, like what Jennifer was talking about, and how does it move from the spirit realm into your daily life? We can sit here and we can talk about Jesus. I can talk about eternal salvation. I can talk about going to heaven. Those things are amazing and fantastic, and thank God for it. But Jesus came so that you would experience him right now. That the power of God would flow right now. Man, I am so excited about this. Guys, what God is doing. Okay, so let me finish this up here in John chapter 6. Because he said to feed on him. And in verse 61, he says, when Jesus knew himself that his disciples complained about this. So here they were. They're like, how do you eat? How do you feed on his flesh? They said, this is a hard saying. And so he said, does this offend you? What then if you will see the Son of Man ascend from where he was before? It is, and here's the key, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh doesn't profit anything, but the words that I speak, and so there's that, the Word of God being the bread, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now listen to me. I want to use this to encourage you about what's going on Wednesday nights. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that as you attend to the Word, and as you listen to it, as you hear it, as you get it into your heart, as it gets into your heart, it says that the Word is medicine to your flesh. It's health to your bones. It's health to every area. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Let me tell you what's happening on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights, we are diving deep into the Word concerning healing and wholeness. Healing and wholeness for every part of your body, spirit, soul, and body. If you're emotionally hurting, you're going to get healed. If you're physically sick, you're going to get healed. What's happening on Wednesday nights is that being under the atmosphere and being soaked in the Word of God concerning healing. Psalm 107:20 says that he sent his Word and healed them. Okay? He sent his Word and healed them. And so what we're doing is we are hearing the Word of God on healing so that faith rises, because faith comes from hearing the word of God. And your trust level and your belief level will rise. And some of you that have been standing, you know, and been praying for healing for so long and saying, where is the manifestation? Get into this atmosphere that we as a body together, where two or three are gathered together, there Jesus is, where we touch and agree, it shall be done. There is a benefit to corporate faith that as you connect together, that together it creates an atmosphere of faith that arises in what God has already provided. I said this Wednesday night that your faith is a vehicle to experience what God has already given to you by His grace.
Amen.
And so just this past Wednesday night, we had, and I say invite friends, invite family, people, I don't care if they have a cold all the way to stage 4 cancer, it makes no difference to me. God heals. And so Wednesday night, we had a number of people up here, and Sharice's mother came, and a number of people with diabetes and that sort of thing. And so she had high blood pressure, diabetes, she needed a total overhaul is what she needed. And we prayed for her, laid hands on her, and she heard the word on healing and being redeemed from the curse of the law. The next morning when she got up, I just found out about it this morning. The next morning when she got up, she checked her blood pressure, totally normal. She checked her blood sugar, totally normal. Praise God. Man, somebody needs God, give God praise for that right now. Come on. Life of Faith, we get the chance to do this together and to watch God do healings and miracles and the things He does best. And that's what's happening on Wednesday nights. And that's because our faith is rising in what the Word of God says and who He is and His character and His nature. Praise God. And so this is what He's saying, that the Spirit, it gives life. Okay. Let's go. Again, He's the bread. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let me just talk to you about, first of all, I've encouraged you, feed on Jesus. Feed on the Word. He is your life. The flesh doesn't profit anything. The TV shows that you watch don't profit you at all. The talk radio that you listen to doesn't. Facebook doesn't really profit you probably that much at all. But I'm telling you, everything that comes from the Spirit will absolutely have an effect. Okay? And so Jesus said that. What does it mean to eat His flesh? What does it mean to drink His blood? There was the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a Passover meal. That Passover meal was representative of when the children of Israel, the last thing that happened before they came out of Egypt, there was this destroyer, this death angel that passed through to kill all the firstborn. But those that put the blood of the lamb, a lamb that was sacrificed on the outside of their door, the Passover lamb, the destroyer could not come in and destroy their house. Why? Because a death had already taken place. The blood symbolized that a death had already taken place. And so He couldn't go in. And so this last Passover meal, Jesus took the bread that they did, and then also the wine that they did, and they did this every single year. And so this was what we call the Last Supper. And as we look at verse 23 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says this, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Whoo, man. Guys, y'all need to get ready. This is going to be awesome. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, new agreement with man forever. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me, for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You declare what He did on the cross until He comes. Now, I want to read through these next few verses very quickly because we're getting ready to do communion, but I need to give you some key points that perhaps you've never thought about before. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, what's he talking about here? Some people say, well, I feel unworthy. That's not what he's talking about. It's not about whether you're worthy or not. He's talking about the manner. If you'll go back to earlier in this chapter, he is describing to them how that, you know, they've made a huge feast of this. And so people were getting there early so that they could be the first one in line, so that they could eat the food. That they were, in other words, that they were doing it in an unworthy manner because they were just looking for a way to feed their flesh. He said, look, eat at home before you come, because this actually is way more important than what it's going to, you know, do for your flesh. You're recognizing everything that Jesus did. And so this is the context here. So don't get too hung up on, because we're going to do this in the right manner today. And he says, but let a man examine himself. Make sure your motivations, all of that, you know, that you're honoring Jesus. And so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let me make a point here about discerning the Lord's body. We're going to talk about physically what Jesus did for us and its spiritual and physical implications and its application to each and every one of us. But I'd like for you for just a moment to look to your right and to your left. Everybody, look to your right, to your left. You are now looking at the Lord's body. And this is an opportunity as you discern, because the very next chapter, Paul talks about how we are all members and all part of the same body. And you know, if there's somebody that you have unforgiveness towards, somebody that you, you know, even in the church or whatever, that you're upset at, or in your family or something like that, let that go. Let this be an opportunity that you recognize we are all members of each other. And let's let that go and discern properly that there's none that's more important than the other, that all people are accepted by Him for who they are, for where they are. And let's love each other unconditionally. Let's properly discern the Lord's body. Okay? For this reason, he says, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That bitterness, that judgment, that unforgiveness, it can actually create in you, it can be the source of sickness. It can be the source of disease. And so by letting those things go, what you're doing is you're going to just accept the complete cleansing power of what Jesus has done. Okay? And so, and then he goes on in verse 33. Let's skip on down there. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Wait for one another. So you see here that what he's doing in context is he is talking about the way that we relate to each other, even in this place, even in the matter of communion, even in, and communion is just being in union with, and the fellowship of the Father God.